Well, Barry Bloom is now, Barry, senior editor, is that it? Senior writer of Forbes.com?
Senior contributor.
I wasn't sure what to make, but you're a senior. You got promoted. That's the main thing, right?
Yes, I got promoted. Yeah, it was very nice.
I love it. Very good. Barry Bloom with us. And, of course, I'm happy to have you on today. And you had quite a week of stories, starting with CeCe Sabathia at the All-Star game and Rob Manfred. I just pick out a couple that you could share with us, because Forbes.com has turned into one of the better baseball sites to follow your work.
Well, thank you. You know, a lot of it is, you know, being in the right place at the right time and also going in with a plan. I mean, it just seemed to me that with CeCe being honored by the Indians there for his great career, and that's where it started. I mean, it was a gimme question to ask CeCe, if he goes into the Hall of Fame, what hat is he going to wear? What emblem is he going to wear, the Yankees or the Indians? And so when I asked him, he started laughing, and he said, my wife asked me that the other day, and I said, I didn't know. And then we talked a little bit about it, and he goes, oh, I'm going in. It's New York. I'm definitely going. I won a championship there. You know, I finished my career there. I played longest there. Yeah, it's definitely New York. And I thought that was, you know, a nice little scoop to have during the pregame of the All-Star, where he comes out and throws out the first pitch, and then Cora sends him out to joke around with Chapman at the end of the game. So, yeah, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that.
Is he, of course, talk about the Hall of Fame. I take it from you that he's a dead-bang Hall of Famer.
Well, I think at this point, yeah. When you look at where we are on starting pitchers, and especially with their stats, I mean, he's, you know, 251 wins. You know, that's, you know, he's the most in his generation and the most of any active pitcher right now. He's got 3,000 strikeouts, and there are only two other left-handers with 3,000 strikeouts. So I think it puts him in that class. Maybe 15 years ago, you would have thought twice about it. And it took Burt Blyleven many years to get into the Hall of Fame with similar stats and close to 300 wins. So, but I think CeCe, if not a first ballot, is pretty much early in, 3 or 4 years, much like, you know, Messina just got in.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, senior contributor, Barry Bloom. Do I have to say that now each time you're on?
No, you don't. I mean, it's a nice accolade, and you can just treat me just like the old Schlemiel I've always been.
Exactly right. All right, you're doing very well today. All right, Barry Bloom, who writes for Forbes.com, let's put it that way. Verlander and Rob Manfred, that was an interesting dynamic as well.
Well, I mean, you're not going to, like, convince Verlander that there's not something going on with the ball. I mean, he's been on this since the 2017 World Series. Basically, you know, I quoted him last year in an article that the ball in the 2017 World Series, it was impossible to throw a slider, so he stopped doing it. Darvish, especially, who had a very rough World Series that year, if you remember, he couldn't throw his slider. They were sitting on his fastball. You saw very much the same thing in the London games, where atmosphere, conditions, the ball, whatever. I mean, you couldn't throw a breaking pitch there. You know, the ball was not dropping. So breaking pitches were just hanging out over the plate, and both the Yankees and Red Sox were killing it. So, you know, he gave his opinion of it, which, you know, he said, you know, that the ball was junk. You know, we went into it, and, you know, you can go further around on it. And, you know, the one thing I do give Manfred, and I did say this to him, is that, look, there's an 85-page report that was done on the ball last year. There, academics, scientists, they evaluated it. There's a 10-page lead-in. There are addendums. There are graphics. It's very much like the Mueller report. Sports writers haven't read it. I've read it because I've done extensive stories on this, and most of the answers to this really are in that report. And what they come down to, with the long and the short of it, is that for some reason, there are significant drag capabilities of the ball that are different now, which is causing it to travel faster. And what they're doing down there is they're trying textures on the ball, they're trying reweaving on the ball, they're trying all kinds of things to figure it out, and they have yet to figure it out. What they want is a ball that comes out of the box with a texture on it that doesn't have to be rubbed up with river mud like it has been for time immemorial, and it goes to every ballpark and it plays the same. Whether they can get there, I don't know. But it's really caused quite a bit of kerfuffle about the ball.
Yeah. All right. That's all right. You know, we had Meredith Wills on a couple of weeks ago who did the report on it, the astrophysicist, So she was terrific, and she laid out exactly what was said at the All-Star game, that the drag coefficient is different and the baseballs feel different and everything else. So they own the company that makes the baseballs, MLB does, so we'll see what they do with it. All right. Barry Bloom with us.
They don't exactly own the company. I mean,
well, they bought it.
Seidler, the Padre owners own the company, MLB is in partnership with it.
Sorry. All right. Sorry. They don't own it. their partner owns it. Sorry.
Right. Exactly.
In the legal world, they own it. All right. So that's what they got. All right.
Okay, Mr. Attorney.
Thank you. All right. One last thing for you. And I thought the dynamic is starting already, and it's the most boring dynamic ever. And I don't want to belabor it too long, no pun intended. But Tony Clark and Manfred are starting to posture a little bit about the 2021 agreement and what's going to go on. And I guess they're starting to talk about it already.
Well, where we are is that there's a preliminary discussion. Manfred has told Tony that if you guys have any cohesive plans that you want to have evaluated to change where they are right now, they will certainly listen to it, but they have no intention of changing the agreement. They're fine with the agreement, and if I were MLB, I would be too. So essentially, now the onus is on the Players Association and the players to come up with, these are the changes we want in the plan, this is how we want to go about doing it, and, you know, they'll go from here and they'll meet about it. Now, whether there's going to be any sort of resolution of this before you get to the end of this current agreement in 2021, you know, probably not. But you can still get a lot of preliminary negotiating grounds done in collective bargaining before you get there, so that you're not on day one starting to negotiate an agreement like in 2020 that, or 2021, that, you know, there's been no work on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a positive thing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that completely. So I'm glad to see it. Well, you had quite a week. You had the All-Star game. You had Verlander. You had Tony Clark. You saw the Yankee baseball. So you've had quite a week of baseball. Glad to have you on. And next up for you, I guess the Hall of Fame is coming up.
Right. It's the week after next. And we're waiting on our second grandson to be born, too. So it's a lot coming up.
Terrific. All right. Appreciate you being on. And you are a writer for Forbes.com, even though you're a senior contributor.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
That's perfect.
Okay. All right. Bye. Thanks, Barry. All right. That is Barry Bloom. Boy, now he was all over it this week. Forbes.com. Absolutely check it out.